that got your attention.
Yes. This is Pensacola Beach. It is Blue Angels weekend. And this is the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, July 9th, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. It is a joy to welcome you here today to the podcast, for us to take a moment to be together in word and prayer and song and silence, and to celebrate what is best in life, the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our God in whom there is peace that passes understanding. So let's begin this time of worship and celebration by celebrating life itself, by breathing and understanding that every breath is a gift. Every breath is an opportunity to give thanks to God for what is good and right and true and pure and worthy and beautiful. So as you breathe, I encourage you to turn your face toward the sky. Call to mind these good things, the richness of life. To lay down your burdens. Perhaps allow a smile to come to your face. And in this posture, let's begin together in worship. Join with me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. You can find the bulletin just below where you found today's podcast. I think it might be labeled sermon notes, but click on that little tab there. Today's bulletin will be come up for you. Let's begin. Through dreams and visions, O God, you broaden the horizon and hope of your people, that they may discover the meaning of your covenant, even in the midst of trial and exile. Increase the number of those who believe in your word, so that all people may joyfully respond to your call and share in your promises. Amen.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew's gospel. In the 11th chapter, we'll begin with verse 16 and go through 19, and then we'll jump to verse 25 and read through 30. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word alive among us. Bless us with inspiration, divine wisdom, vision through your word, this gift that we receive from you. Save us, we pray, from misinterpretation and distraction. Help us to truly hear what it is you're saying to us in this moment. We pray all of this in your holy name and say, Amen. Sometimes in life, we have one plan and then the day takes a completely different turn. This is one of those days. I normally show up here in the morning on Saturday, and if I'm blessed, the only thing that I need to do is to put this podcast together and get it ready for you and send it out in the afternoon. But today, the Lord had other plans, good plans. But I'd like to get up early and have a cup of coffee and do my Wordle puzzle and communicate with friends and family. And in the middle of that morning ritual this morning, I got a text from one of my volunteers at church, one of the folks on our leadership team. And she'd been over to the church early and had encountered a young man sleeping on the front porch at the church. And she just wanted to report to me that she'd taken care of some of his basic needs. And she gave me a list of a few things that he could use and that he would be here when I arrived a little bit later. And so, indeed, there he was. And I brought over some basics, a bar of soap and a towel and some stuff. So he went into the restroom, got himself kind of cleaned up and together. And I was probably as lucid as he was going to be all day. We sat and talked. And I got a snapshot of his life and in the confused way he told the story. And yet some of these bullet points of the profound mistakes he'd made in his own life. And the burdens that he'd experienced in just 28 years of living, it just made me think about this gospel that we preach and how sometimes we reduce this beautiful, rich word of God to a call to some kind of perfect theological point of view. Or a gospel, as Dallas Willard would call it, a gospel of sin management. But ultimately, I think it gets to what Jesus says a little bit further up in chapter 11. Some disciples of John the Baptist who's in prison. John is in prison and he's hearing about this Jesus ministry, and it's not necessarily lining up with what his understanding is of what Messiah will be doing. So he sends out some representatives to talk to Jesus, and they ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" And Jesus doesn't give him some kind of theological answer. He doesn't quote Scripture. He says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And as we read through John, it's so often we see this in the Gospels. These good things happen in the presence of Jesus, all these things that he just listed. And there is a cast of people who take offense to it, who are threatened by it, who are infuriated with it, because it doesn't match maybe what they were taught in school. It may pose some threat to authority and control that they exercise over more vulnerable people. Jesus is rejected at every corner. John the Baptist finds himself in prison. Right? This madman, John, goes out and he's preaching this baptism and repentance. And he's eating the locusts and wild honey. He says, essentially, you got to sober up. You got to get clean because you want to be awake when this new thing happens. And it's coming. And it does come in the person of Jesus. So that helps us understand then in verse 18, when he says, John came neither eating nor drinking. And they said, he has a demon. And then I come and I am eating and drinking. I'm attending meals with tax collectors and sinners. And they mock me for that. Look, he's a drunkard and a glutton. They can't see. They can't see that I'm there bringing healing to a group of people that need healing. They couldn't hear John calling everyone to wake up. They rejected him because they knew that baptism was also for them, this erudite class, this class of powerful, know-it-all people. And it all balances out. Jesus has just sent his 12 disciples off on a mission trip to the vulnerable, to those that needed to hear the good news, sending them out vulnerable themselves, so that in solidarity with other vulnerable people, together they were stronger and together this good news could get some traction. And so Jesus, who never, ever asked people to do things that he doesn't do, is out doing the same thing that he sent his disciples to do, offering this healing ministry to the masses. And as this crowd presses in and he teaches them, he says, you know, the ones that are in charge of official religion, the ones in the periphery of the crowd, they may never hear this. And we get this glimpse as he's having a prayer time or some kind of conversation with God, which happens in the 25th chapter, right when we shift. We have the first section, and then we jump down to the 25th verse, chapter 11, verse 25. At that same time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants," to the people who really need them, who understand how much they need them. Their ego and intellect hasn't gotten in the way of their understanding of the need for grace and peace and mystery, of the simple yet deeply profound actions of loving kindness, for such is the kingdom of the heavens. Jesus speaks with an intimacy about God, an understanding of the mind of God that it doesn't make a difference how much one studied. And I'm not trying to say that that's unimportant. I think rigorous theological education and orthodox understanding of the practice of faith is important. But when it gets rotten and turns into pride and arrogance and a mechanism of control, it's useless to God. So as he's praying, having this conversation, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. There's an intimacy of relationship that Jesus has with God the Father Almighty. And the ones that can really see what he's doing, that all of this, the incredible, enlightening teaching, the difficult conversations, the calling out, the arrogance of the authority, this comes from the mind of God. It's revealed because of this intimate relationship. It reminds me, recently I was attending the funeral of the mother of a friend of mine. And like we do in funerals, family members got up and spoke, in this case about their mom, and told stories, funny stories, touching stories about their mom, stories only a child would know, someone in the tight inner circle of the family would know. And they shared those stories with us because we'd drawn near to love and support the family. So we knew more about their mother and their love for the mother and the mother, mother's love for them, because we'd been invited in that moment of a funeral mass. I think that's some of what Jesus is getting at here. Those of you who were vulnerable enough, those of you who were curious enough, who drew near, let me tell you, come here, let me tell you about God the Father Almighty. And let's begin by relieving your burdens. Let's begin by relieving your physical burdens. And then let's also begin by relieving from your shoulders a burden that was never to be placed there. This law that the Father gives was never meant to be an oppressive law. It was meant to offer you freedom and a lightness in the way of being. Or as Jesus says, come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's an alternate translation that I think is helpful. When he says at the bottom, at the end of this, the final part of the reading, excuse me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Another way to read that is, my yoke is kind and good, and my burden is small. What I'm asking, Jesus says, for you to carry what I carry, it's actually rather simple, and it's good. My burden is kindness. My burden, my yoke is kindness and goodness, the thing that you carry around your neck. Kindness and goodness that Jesus extends to us first and then commands us to go out and do into the world. That it's a gospel of a thousand small things. I mean, I tell you the story of my encounter with this young man on the front porch of the church, not to lift myself up as some paragon of virtue. God help me if I were to ever say that. But it is, upon reflection, that's the evangelization. That's what Jesus sent the 12 to do. Find, in the midst of vulnerability and need, find opportunity to express the love of the kingdom of the heavens. Start with a cup of cold water. And then pause long enough to have the best conversation you can and to offer as much encouragement as you can. To offer a presence that is gentle and humble in heart. And you and the person to whom you minister will find rest for your souls. It's good news, and sometimes it can feel so confusing and complicated. And when it feels that way, hear him say to you, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so when your questions of faith seem overwhelming and hugely complicated, and you get into dialogues that seem to just spin around in circles, seek the yoke that is kind and good. Find God in the small things, the simple but profound joy of everyday living. For such is the kingdom of the heavens. Such is the good news of God. To which I say, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for the blessings of this moment. We thank you for the gift of your yoke, for your kindness, your goodness, for burdens that are small and manageable, especially when we share them with one another. Heavenly Father, we pray for all of the homeless, poor, and the vulnerable. We pray for those who've been broken on the wheels of living. Help us to go forth in your name as your disciples with our simple gifts, to go out as citizens, representatives of the kingdom of heaven. The gift of enough, of daily bread, of deliverance from evil. These things that we will pray for in just a few minutes. God, meet us right where we are. Equip us with the things that we need and free us from the things that we do not need to carry around. We pray for this good world. And we pray for those who find themselves in positions of power, people that make big decisions that affect a lot of people. Lift up godly men and women, we pray. Give them courage and strength to be your voice, to be your presence, your grace and peace, so that the world would know the truth that you are God, that every one of us has value in your eyes, is beloved. And we pause for a moment in the midst of this time of prayer. And we ask humbly, O God, that you would consider the joys and the concerns of our hearts, the celebrations of what is good, and the burdens that feel too heavy for us to carry. Draw near, O God, as we make silent space to share our hearts and our minds with you. We break our silence. We give you thanks for the gifts of peace and quiet, for the beautiful gift that is Emmanuel, you, God, with us. And knowing that you are here with us in this moment, we pray that you will hear us as we say together a prayer that goes by your name, a prayer that you equipped your disciples with, and they shared it with us. Hear us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear, dear friends, I pray that each and every one of us will go out into this day as we move on to whatever is next, that we will all do so with a lightness of spirit, that the words of Matthew 11:29 will resonate in our hearts and in our minds. Hear Jesus as he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Go forth in the lightness of God, God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you.